Hello everybody, we're just gonna try something out. We're here at Blue Eden with Firdaus, or @mFirdaus. I'm Timothy. We're just testing out a few things, we're possibly turning this to a more regular podcast kind of thing, but in the meantime, let's just introduce ourselves. I'm Timothy, @TheWheat on Twitter. The Wheat Field is my blog where I post stuff. We're not too sure where this is going to take us. We're just going to talk about technology stuff, things that we've done in our lives, and just maybe things that interest us. So maybe I hand over this time to Firdaus, let him give you a brief introduction of himself.
Oops. Hello, my name is Muhammad Firdaus Jizailani. Most people call me mFirdaus. I went by many names, but mostly I'm not that. It's not that easy to find me if you don't know. For the longest of times, I'm generally a lurker. There was that time in a Brunei student, there was my blogging community, all that Brunei stuff. I wasn't into that. I was a lurker. I'm more lurking. So Twitter is kind of... But anyway, in terms of technology, I'm essentially an enthusiast.
And he's a JavaScript maven.
I still don't do my JavaScript. I just dabble in everything, essentially. I'm not really into the hardware, but I suppose I know some stuff. I used Windows XP for so long that I guess I mastered that. I made some Firefox extensions. I played around with PHP. I'm not really that into C++. I just made some stuff, etc. I'm a noob in everything.
That's what he says, but I highly doubt that. Anyway, I think on my side, I'm more of a developer focus. I've done some Android development. I do some web application kind of work. I've dabbled with a lot of Linux. I've dabbled with OS X. I've dabbled with Windows. I think one thing we wanted to talk about today is just OS X, being that Firdaus here has just recently bought his MacBook Air, and apparently he's also living this Apple, in the Apple ecosystem. He has an iPhone, he has an iPad, and now he's completed the trifecta with his MacBook Air.
Delicious. So delicious.
So as you can see, he likes it a lot. Or as you can listen, he likes it a lot. What are your findings, or what's your first impressions of OS X?
I don't know. Thing about it is, for the longest time, I'm a Windows XP kind of guy. Like I said, Vista, we use Vista in office, so you know. Recently, I really like Windows 7, in such that I didn't even find a way to hack it or like edit it. You know what? It's good enough.
So, you, in a sense, are you saying that you did a lot of modifications to your previous OS installs?
Mostly because. I had a Windows XP install. It wasn't running Explorer. Windows XP, there's a kernel and a shell. A shell is essentially the user interface that you interface into, right? So Windows XP's shell is Explorer.exe. When I was younger, you know. So I tried to find a way to remove all explorer.exe, including the file manager, etc. So what I ended up was a setup such that you have just a black desktop screen. You press Windows X, you can set commands. You press Windows Z, there's a small status bar, there's system bar, and then Windows C opens up a file manager. That's it. So I'm into that kind of thing.
So, okay. Have you managed to do something similar on OS X?
Essentially, maybe a little bit. I don't know about you, but in my opinion, it's actually, I think there are lots of ways to customize using Windows keyboard. For example, there's already a built into I think preferences or somewhere, I forgot, I'm not sure, it's in preferences that you can set keyboard shortcuts natively, I think. But for me, currently, I'm running a software that does this, a Better Touch tool. So currently, I have Alt option to slash to open the file manager. Launch. The nice thing about this is if you run the program, it it keeps the instance so that we can use it as a switcher to.
So just say for instance you have the application open already.
Yeah.
If you initiate the command, the keyboard shortcut, it will just bring that instance into focus.
Yeah, essentially, if you're running in Middlesex speed, just opens a new window. So,
okay.
So there's a bad thing, a new good thing about it. The bad thing about it is like it's difficult to open a new instance, perhaps in macOS X without using terminal, etc. But that's a different thing. So alt option opens up the file manager. /--/ opens up Chrome, and I switch the spaces shortcut to Alt Arrow.
So in that sense, are you a very keyboard centric kind of person?
Essentially, yep. So I can do a lot of things with it. So let's see. Yep.
Because actually, personally, I'm also very keyboard centric, and one thing one of the first things I noticed about OS X, it doesn't seem to be very keyboard friendly to me. If you want to go through access all the items on a page, like from text boxes to buttons, you actually need to change your preference in the keyboard settings. A few things like you're not easily able to select the menu bar to actually access menus. So it was one of the few things that I found very troublesome in OS X. Do you find that to be the same for you, or are you hacking around? And
I think that's true. It's weird. In Windows, alternate, and then you go to the Windows bar.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Oh, and another thing, the menu bar, Windows XP has menu bars in every window.
Yeah.
In OS X, there's just one thing. There's just one thing atop.
Yep.
It took me the longest while to figure that out. Well, one day, but still, that's the longest time. Hey, what is it? But anyway, I think the shortcut to open it, even when you enable the, I think it's an assistive, is for the usability option.
Something like that.
It's also useful if you want to record for Automator and stuff, but I think the shortcut is also rubbish. I think it's like Alt-Shift F3 if I'm mistaken or something. So you need to use
you do a lot of finger gymnastics in order to
to
start a few things to actually initiate them.
Essentially, yeah. But I guess what I've learned or what I've discovered when playing around is maybe we need to abandon like the older paradigms, the older Linux paradigms or the older Windows XP paradigm using older, etc. If you want to like to use this, for example, I now consider with OS X there's the mouse, the trackpad, it's close enough, and I can sort of consider it if it's kind of like a keyboard shortcut, I suppose, especially with the gesture, because the nice thing about keyboard shortcuts is that you don't have to look at it, right? With the mouse, you need to like somewhat point it.
You need to navigate to the exact place, click something.
Yes, but with the gestures, the nice thing about that is, like 3-finger down, four finger swipe, expose. 4-finger swipe right. Normally, it switches to
application,
I switched that to Alt Tab so that it just switches to the last, like Alt Tab.
So in a sense, that's to the software that you downloaded.
Yeah, I think I set it to mouse gestures. I'm not sure, but
mouse gestures, you can configure that.
Yeah, but the touch tool itself. I think there are lots of software that does this that can like modify. But anyway.
Yeah, but actually, I have to agree. The trackpad in OS X, well, it's not exactly OS X feature per se, but I guess support for it and. The way that Apple has implemented the trackpad, the hardware of the trackpad, and the interaction of the hardware with the software of OS X, they've done a very good job.
Yeah.
Honestly, when I use other computers, I do not have the same feel and ease of use as I do with OS X and a Mac computer with a trackpad. You can do 2-finger scrolling. You can switch between applications easily to expose.
2-finger scrolling.
Only 2-finger scrolling, but 2-finger scrolling both vertically and horizontally.
Yeah.
Some of the Windows computers, they have only one dimension scrolling.
Yeah.
So, you know, honestly, the way they have implemented it, as well as things also like tap two fingers to act as a right click.
Yeah.
So they got done very good integration between the hardware and software.
Yeah.
Which I think no real Windows or PC laptops have actually been able to duplicate such a good experience.
Yeah, essentially.
And I guess when I say the word experience, that's what the OS X or Apple lifestyle is about.
Yeah.
You get a very polished, very full experience, especially if you stick to the Apple ethos and the Apple way of things.
Yeah, this is true. The operating system, Apple is really good at making this user-centric. In other words, they dumb down stuff a lot.
Yeah.
This is likened to, I think there's a proper in-user interface theory, because like, as you remember me mentioning, I really like the hacking. But the thing about that, it's kind of like a piano. A piano is, if you think about it, piano, you play stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a sense. It's actually not really user-friendly, in a sense.
There's too many, a lot of buttons, a lot of keys.
Yeah, a lot of keys, but you're offered... It's a power user interface. In other words, once you're used to it, you can do anything you want.
Yep.
You're not limited to whatever. So you play. So there's a steep learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
But then once that you have that learning curve done, it's like second nature to you.
Yep.
It's like the manual in a car or the manual shift in a car. It feels natural to you. Same with, I think, concept with like terminal guys.
Yeah.
Vim. I'm still learning Vim, by the way.
Say here, I was always a Nano guy. I'm sorry for all those Vim and Emacs peoples.
Don't
come and hunt us down. Thank you.
Yeah, we noobs. I know. Again, yeah. But anyway, yeah. So the Vim, like, people swear by Vim. Even Emacs people, like the Vim people, scoff at Emacs people. What, you don't know? Why yank?
Don't know.
Yeah, and then if you see this, this is the graph. Well, you can't see, but if you Google like Vim graphical cheat sheet, essentially you have to really learn it. It doesn't make sense.
And yeah, once you learn everything and things become second nature, it's so much easier to you.
Yeah, essentially, it's kind of it's that principle, but. Apple tries to avoid that. Apple tries to dumb it down. For example, it's not just the OS X, for example, the iOS. I sort of am into I drink the Kool-Aid that this is the this is the consumer device, that this is the that is the for the consumers, it's good, user friendly. And there's a couple of caveats, I suppose, but I sort of understand that, but another caveat, I am a hacker guy, so yes, I jailbreak I have an application that scrolls through the folders and
so in a sense you don't really live the purest kind of Apple lifestyle,
essentially. I understand the need for user interface. I'm a programmer kind of guy, but I am fascinated by the user interface that users, regular users, desire. The most, mostly because remember that Windows XP that I've hacked into oblivion, the Lightstep one. I give that laptop to someone else, they don't know how to use it. I made my own keys, my keyboard shortcuts, extra, and I have to remember them.
So basically, it's not, in a sense, user-friendly.
It's not user-friendly
at all. Not general user-friendly, unless you know the secrets to it.
Well, it's not secrets, but yeah, it's the keyboard shortcuts is like built-in. But once you've mastered it, so you actually find that, that's the best workflow for me. I can like copy, for example.
You see, once you master the steps, you are efficient, and it's such a minimal interface that things don't get in the way, and it works the best for you.
Yeah. So power user interface and like the easy user friendly interface are two different things. There are some things sometimes that they get it right that you can have these two.
Yeah.
I suppose.
It's not an easy line to actually walk on or actually find.
Yeah, even you just user-friendly in general, even if you try to avoid, you dumb it down. Sometimes, it's really hard to do.
Yeah, you need to dumb things down smartly, not dumb things down stupidly.
Yeah.
Because you need to know what to remove I guess this is what Apple does pretty well. They know how to remove things that most users don't really need.
Yeah.
And only give you the essential parts of what is necessary.
Yeah. It doesn't even have to be. It doesn't even have to be a user. Like for example, a For me, like the best, like power user application comes to mind currently is like Dropbox.
Yeah.
Dropbox is like really. I think most power users can use it really well. And then most normal people can use it really well too because the interface is so simple, so elegant.
Yeah.
So sometimes. It's not just about dumbing it down. Sometimes the best answer is Occam's razor, I think. Was that?
I think so.
I also believe that. So I believe a lot of things.
But like the correct answer is the easiest, or something like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. But I don't know.
Most straightforward answer. The answer is the most straightforward kind of solution.
I think something. So. Maybe there are like other ways, other paradigms, like the Windows paradigms, the desktop paradigms. It's not really. Maybe there are other ways.
Yeah, I guess OS X in itself, once you learn its quirks, and I'm sure that there are a lot of quirks for for keyboard centric users.
Yeah.
The way things work in OS X, if you open two windows of the same application, is only represented by one icon. I think maybe one of the main issues that a lot of people will have in OS X is actually connecting external hard drives that they had in Windows and not being able to write to it due to the fact that the external hard drives are formatted in NCFS format. And that in itself is not supported to be written to on OS X. You can only read it.
Yeah,
but I guess you can hack around that by downloading this application called NTFS 3G that enables reading and writing to the hard to the NTFS formatted hard drives. So I guess you have to work your way around OS X for certain points, certain things.
Well, I think in that case, that's mostly because Windows is still dominant. So the it's kind of like me. I run Microsoft Office inside the Visual, inside an XP. Yes, but so Microsoft Office inside a Visual running XP inside my Air. It runs really well, by the way.
Thanks to the SSD.
SSD. What was I going to say? Yes, it runs. All my colleagues uses Microsoft Office. I am a teacher. I forgot to mention that. I teach Microsoft Office. I have to stick to Microsoft Office. More often than not, when I'm typing, I do open like a text editor or whatever. I prefer text editor. But in this case, I have to use Microsoft Office.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the bins is okay. But sometimes when you carry over certain things, some formatting maybe is lost, maybe, etc. And for example, if you Google like national skills or Asian skills, there's like this competition that using IT specifically for like Office application.
Mm-hmm.
They're not using OpenOffice or LibreOffice or whatever. They're using
de facto standard because everybody uses it.
Yeah,
a lot of people use it.
And it's a really weird competition. It uses macros and stuff. Like, things
I think one thing I find about OS X is that I find I can do everything I need to in OS X, though some of them they don't work as well, but I am able to do it.
Yeah.
As opposed to things in Windows or things in, especially things in Linux.
Yeah.
Some things such as app support is just non-existent in Linux.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess OS X itself is a good OS.
It's built a good
one. And I guess maybe one of the main attractions is that there are no viruses. Less viruses, and it's not so easy to get infected due to the architecture and how OS X was designed.
Yeah, also, the one thing I like, or currently liking, is like it's also Unix, essentially.
So going back down to the dumbing things down, but there's actually a lot of power behind.
So if you run Terminal, you can do SSH. In Windows, you have to use like things like PuTTY, etc. The command prompt is usable, etc. So there's a lot of things behind it that most people would not know.
And actually don't even need to know. But if you want to know, the option is there, which is always good to have.
I think the extreme, obviously, is the iPad, the iOS, the file manager. There's no way.
Unless you jailbreak.
There's no way to access the file. And they don't need to. People don't need to. So, but going back to the keyboard shortcut, I just remember there's one thing I really, really, really love about Mac OS X in regards to drives that I hate from Mac OS XP. So USB drive, you connect it, or you can't see, but workflow. If I want to copy, open my file manager.
There's no cut and paste, right?
There is, but anyway. But anyway, this is the one I like. So now I'm using not Finder, but anyway, that's not it. I think it works in Finder too. But
what are you trying to do?
Now I'm just going to copy stuff into it, paste. Yep. So now I've pasted something in there. Should be somewhere there. Yep. And then now this is the thing. To eject a drive in Windows. I've tried, I found, there are like some, but you have to click on the status bar and then wait for it, but I think this works in, this isn't for that, but file manager, I think it works in Finder, but Windows E ejects, beautiful.
Oh, okay. Honestly, in Windows, as long as I'm not writing to the drive, I just pull it out.
I know, but
that's one thing good about, I guess, Windows is that you can pull it out, and typically, most of the times, nothing will happen on the drive.
Yeah, you shouldn't
really do that in OS X.
Yeah.
You can corrupt the drive, you can lose data,
you
must eject it first.
But still, that's kind of, there are certain things in Windows XP that are difficult to do by keyboard. Just like, for example, a lot of things, there are things hidden inside the Power XX. There's lots of things that are hidden inside, like you can't do it from the terminal, you can't call it using, you have to like open it up. So, and there's no like, I think there are ways. For example, there's like certain like Windows Phone control space user passwords too. Like, that's a good shortcut, but like there are some other things that I don't remember. Yeah. They have to go through and then click on the links.
Yeah, I guess in Windows XP time, the command line wasn't so fantastic. Yeah. That's why I think in Vista they introduced PowerShell, which added more functionality.
I guess.
More functionality than they used to have. And I believe you can even do the server maintenance.
A lot of
sysadmin stuff through the command line.
Even if you're going to maintain, for example, in Brunei, there's a live at edu, and some of you administrators, used to have like this, but now you're using PowerShell. So I think Microsoft is sort of trying to do the server using the PowerShell, and then they do some, but still,
Okay, cool. So anyway, back to OS X, I guess. It in itself is a good stable operating system. I guess most users will be happy with it. There will be quirks, there will be things you need to learn. But I don't know, maybe personally I don't like it that much. Perhaps I'm too much of an open kind of person. I like the Linux. And perhaps it's just not meant for me. There's always that case where things are not meant for everybody. Everybody has a choice of what they want to use. But I think for the typical users, for the average Joe, or the average, I don't know, Ali in our Brunei context, it is a good enough, it's a good operating system. People will like how it feels, how it looks. Because at the end of the day, I cannot deny that people like pretty things.
Yeah.
And I guess typically OS X does look pretty if you like, if you're into that thing.
Although, I do have to sort of disagree with you there that it's good for typical users. The problem is most people here is still using Windows.
Well, because I guess also that the fact that Macs are more expensive generally than PCs.
Yeah.
You can get a PC for what, 700-800 bucks.
The thing I was going to go into is that most people, if they don't have, or if they have prior sort of like computer knowledge, or like they can open computers, suddenly they go to a Mac, everything is different.
Yeah.
There's no drive letters. What is this drive letters? Why can I?
I had that problem, by the way.
Where can I get the? Oh, it's there. It's mounted. Okay. It's very Linux-like. So there's that two thing. And then there's like Microsoft Office, like the man I mentioned, home regular. I have to say that if they have like former experience, and if they for the desktop at least, and then if they're working essentially, they need to be in Windows, I am sad to say. Well, it's getting bad. Another thing is it's gonna mess up your keyboard shortcuts.
This is messed up a lot.
But anyway, that's a different context. But now this is maybe where I differ from you. But if it's iOS, yes, maybe that's okay. Although you have to install iTunes, for regular people, the iOS experience, yes, I think there's something to be said about that. A few caveats. I don't know any other mobile operating system. I dabble with Memo. I dabble with Android. I have been running on Visual Machine. That's about it. So I can't really say for sure. I have played with the Samsung Tab. And my experience with that was not bad. But again, there's lots of caveats. But and I think Timothy can explain more about that. But to me, there's the complete package with the mobile iOS. Mm-hmm. And they're introducing new paradigms. That's interesting. That maybe, like, for example,
the post-PC era kind of thing that you're talking about.
Yes, I love that.
Post-PC, which still requires iTunes to activate your product.
Yeah, well.
Give and take, I guess. Give and take.
Yeah, give and take. Maybe we're moving there, I don't know. Like, the concept of Windows, do we really need Windows? Sometimes, like, the multitasking, the way that they did multitasking here is that they make APIs, right? It's not pure multitasking. Yes, you can do using jailbreak, background, I know, but
possibly it is sufficient multitasking in that sense.
Yep.
Maybe what you could call maybe also smart multitasking, not true multitasking, because there's always caveats with true multitasking, obviously being battery life and applications hogging the processor, things like that.
Yep.
So what Apple has done is they've implemented their own kind of hybrid multitasking kind of system, which gets kind of the best of both worlds to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And perhaps that might carry over into the actual desktop experience. Actually, this morning I was talking to the president of Smarter, Malai, he was mentioning about using the iPad, and such that the experience is so good, especially due to the long battery life.
Yeah.
You can leave it on all day, you can use it the whole day without having to worry about the battery life, which is something you cannot really say about any laptop that you carry around.
It's 99% battery.
So, in that sense, it provides a new method of, or a new paradigm, as you mentioned, how we use our gadgets, how we think about things. And I'm excited for the future to see what other, whether it's tablets or mobile devices, have in store for us in the future.
Yeah.
Right now, we have the iPhone 4, the iPad 2, which you can use to mirror display on an HDTV.
Yeah.
Or things like the N8. Even though it's running Symbian, it has mirroring on the desktop, on a monitor.
Yeah.
You can attach a keyboard and mouse. In a sense, you have a computer in your pocket.
In fact, imagine this. You have iPhone 4, you have an HDMI output, so you go to your friend's house, they have an HDMI TV. So you connect that, play a video on your iPhone, connect the HDMI, and suddenly it appears that
it's
right. Possible. So
you can do that. That's right. You can do that with an N8 as well. Which is interesting to see that you can have like a full home theater, a full PC desktop in the size of a phone, and that's something that's also also seen in the Motorola Atrix, which is actually a phone. And it actually has a laptop dock. You can dock it into this laptop device.
And it
brings up a browser with the form factor of a laptop.
Yeah.
It also has a home theater dock.
Mm.
So it's amazing to see what is going to happen in the future.
Yeah.
what devices bring to our lives.
Yeah. For example, look, GarageBand.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of interesting things that Apple is doing in the tablet space with iPad, yeah. GarageBand, iMovie. Yeah.
Because the important thing about GarageBand and iMovie for the iPad 2 is before there wasn't really a good... there's only one application where tablet was better, browsing.
Yeah.
And then like people poo-pooed it, no flash.
Yeah, it's another... That's a discussion for another day.
But yeah, but GarageBand is actually a viable... I already think of it. It's actually a viable... You can make a song with it.
I believe there are some bands who have done that already.
Yeah, essentially. Let's see. So nice.
This is the old GarageBand, new GarageBand?
New GarageBand. The GarageBand was a Mac OS band, so there's a new... this is like a new app for the iPad 2, designed for iPad 2. Also,
this is the same GarageBand that would run on the iPad 2, the original iPad.
Yeah, the only thing is like it's going to like lag a bit. There's certain things,
yeah, because the iPad 2 has a better processor.
Yeah, we should play this.
So yeah, actually, speaking about this, there's a video on YouTube about a band called it. What is it? Atomic Tom, where they played an entire song using iPhones.
Yeah.
Which is kind of an interesting concept, and I don't know, to me when I saw it, I was like, it's kind of cool, you can carry an entire instrument in the size of a phone.
Yeah.
You don't need a guitar, you don't need a full drums. Yeah. Not saying that it will sound the same as an actual instrument, but the possibility of that, and having just the capability of that is so cool.
Yeah. And the thing about this is it sounds so good. I'm just gonna let me, but it's, I don't know if you can hear what's the point, but
so you can see he's a guitar player too.
Actually no, this is really easy. Try it.
Is that chords? Play a guitar?
So you see these are chords, so like for example you play the E chord and then A.
So it actually has the different chords on the screen itself. So you don't even need to memorize which is which chord. You can actually just look at the screen and play the chord.
Yeah, I'm actually a rubbish guitar player.
So in a sense, it helps you learn how to actually play to a certain extent.
Yeah. Okay.
At least to a certain extent, visually, it lets you learn which chords are where without actually having a physical guitar.
Essentially, some people... I think this will revolutionize how you make music, even more so, because for example you just need to know like the chords. C sounds nice, mm-hmm. B and then E and F. That's the piano. Now you can use it with the guitar. This is like really interesting, and then you can record this, and then you can layer it.
Yeah.
And I think you
so
know.
You can do this all on the device itself.
Yeah.
Giving you the full creative ability to just play around with stuff. Even if you don't have friends to play with, you can record several layers or several tracks by yourself.
Forever and done.
Aren't we all, kind of? Yeah, so... It's very interesting and very...
Yeah, this one. This is,
I don't know. It's kind of mind-blowing in that sense.
Yeah.
Of all the technology that we have and what is in store in the future.
It's In 1990s or the 1980s, samplers cost like $10,000, $20,000. I don't know. I don't remember. Here, for $5, okay, iPad is $600. iPad is...
They say cheapest iPad around $500.
Yep.
The old iPad one's about $550, $600.
So sad. You have a actual sampler. So you have... Hello. Yeah, that's a bad. Let me new sampler. Oh, yeah, that's the nice thing about the iPad 2. Not only has it has a big screen, also has a gyroscope, it has a microphone, it has everything. So, like, maybe before, normal computers don't have that. So, but anyway, let's see. Let's try this again. So
what he's doing is he's trying out a sampler. He just recorded his own voice. And he's manipulating the recorded voice using a keyboard.
So.
That's why, in a sense, this will create a whole different generation of maybe DJs or music, creative music kind of folks to use and play around with, and it's
maybe so we'll be guys like us will be dying we'll be the ones like fixing cloud and stuff with our big trucks.
Nothing much else to say. We started with OS X, we moved a bit on to the iOS, iPad stuff. We're not too sure where this recording, this podcast kind of thing is going to take us, but we'll see how things go. So thanks for listening if you managed to listen to all of this. On the next episode, catch us doing something, I don't know. So yes, two guys enthusiastic about technology.
Yes, very enthusiastic.
Like to play around with what's out there, and hopefully just to share something with all you guys. So thank you for listening. Thanks for listening.
We see you, but mostly your packets, but
or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Did we really talk for 36 minutes?
Really? I wanted to go longer. You wanted? I see another like good thing
about
excerpt.
P.S. Continued.
Yes. This is going to be inserted somewhere. For example, another like things like is really new that you haven't seen before is, for example, HDR camera. Before you have SLR, really good cameras, and then you have the computer, and then you can take pictures, and then you upload it, and then that computer you post process it, etc.
I think maybe like HDR, what is it? It's basically taking three images and kind of merging them together.
Something like that. I think it's called high dynamic
range.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, what the acronym means doesn't really play much of a part. But what the end user really needs to know is that with HDR images, you are able to take photos either that previously were too dark or too bright, you will be able to make it into a proper image in a sense. So for instance, maybe using a normal camera, the image will be too dark. But if you use HDR, it enables it to brighten up the dark areas while keeping the other areas lit properly as well.
So I think the best example is if you take pictures of clouds
or the sun. Previously, you would see all white because it's too bright. But using HDR, it enables you to, in a sense, tone down the brightness. Basically, it enables you to take photos where previously you were not able to take photos.
Before you could, but it's
not. You will not see the same image. You'll see either all black or all white.
This makes it more, and then for example, this is also has a built-in camera or any camera. So although I'm talking about iPhone now, this is generally for any like phones or smartphones. It has a built-in video, and then you can upload it immediately to YouTube. You can also do post-processing like tilt shift and etc. It's really amazing stuff.
Yeah, the Symbian itself also has a video editor. Which comes with the device itself. No need to download a specific application. It also has a image editor, which I found kind of interesting as well. Because in that sense, this Symbian I'm talking about is the Symbian S3, which comes with the N8, the newer Nokia devices. Which, I don't know, to me it interests me because it had all the capabilities of being a computer in your pocket, as well as providing a lot of things out of the box without having to download applications. A lot of these things can be done on Android and iOS devices, but typically you have to download specific applications and need to know what are the applications, which are the good ones that actually enable you to do that. But for Symbian itself, it all came with the device. So you can just take your photos, take your videos, open them in the picture editor, open them in the video editor, and straight away create nice images, crop the images, you can create an actual video based on the images that you've taken.
I think Symbian, iOS, Android, I think they're about the same beast essentially.
I guess a lot of people will beg to differ with you, especially on the Symbian side.
Anyway, the devices itself. Because it's entirely new. That's why the first time I saw the iPhone, if you see the YouTube, it's like everyone was, but yeah, essentially it's a new workflow that works. Before, if you want to share it to Facebook, you take a picture, upload it to your PC, blah 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 blah, and then
the workflow makes things so much easier.
Yep.
Not only due to the device itself, but also due to wireless internet, to 3G, or even a lot of hotspots around wireless spots that people are easily able to take photos with their mobile devices.
Yep.
They can process it on the device itself and quickly upload it. Previously, you had a digital camera, you take the photo, take the SD card or cable to connect to a computer, transfer it to your computer, process it using the computer, and then if you have internet, you can upload it. But now things are so much easier that everything is there in your pocket or in your bag.
Yeah, that's the thing. So that's why I have a feeling maybe...
Mobile computing.
Mobile computing. Like, our days as a desktop guy with truck drivers. But I'm talking crazy. Of course, there's going to be room for that. But yeah, the future for that, for this mobile computer, augmented reality, for example... what else?
A lot of social applications, a lot of augmented reality, a lot of geolocation kind of things are up and coming.
Yeah, you can't really do that before with the, or do it nicely with the laptop.
You can't geolocate using a laptop, basically finding out your rough location. You need to be mobile.
Yeah.
And that's what all these mobile devices help us do, whether your phones, whether it's your tablets.
The future. We are living it in.
To see what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah,
mobile computing, a lot of possibilities on the device itself. You can, like the iPad 2 now, you can actually capture HD video. Even on the iPhone itself and the iPod Touch, you can capture HD video, process it on the device itself. Heck, my 2-year-old computer can't even play back HD video. And we're talking about devices the size of a phone or the size of a A4 pad that can do that on the go, out and about.
Yeah. For example, some of you may know WordLens. You can't do that with a computer.
Oh yeah, WordLens, where basically what it is you point your phone at text and it can automatically translate that in more or less real time to different languages.
Yeah. Although I don't have the dictionary for it. If you download the free app, it reverses the. But that's really good, right? Have you seen it?
Yeah, okay. I've seen applications. So this is very good for travelers. If you're going to a land where the language you don't understand, all you need to do is point your phone at the sign, and it will translate it to English, thanks to the wonders of the internet and just.
Yeah,
and the camera itself, because it's able to take a clear enough photo, a clear enough view of the words.
Yeah, and with the gyroscope inside it. Yeah, it's sure that they put with the gyroscope. But yeah, the future. Yeah. What else?
The future is now.
Every day I wake up and I realize the future I'm living in. My desire to live has. Oh, okay. I can die happy now, maybe.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
You know, anything else to mention?
Maybe, I don't know. But yeah, we'll keep on the good stuff for later, maybe.
Yeah, or if you think we're just two guys rambling on about stuff, think we're uninteresting, do let us know. We're just trying new things out and see where that takes us. We want to share with people our thoughts, maybe things that we've done, the technology that we play with, and to make the most out of it. To have a better lifestyle, to have a better life.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, that's what technology is. It's an enabler. It should enable us to do things that we weren't able to do previously and to basically help us in life.
Yes.
So I guess with that, that's us signing off. You can follow Firdaus at mfirdaus. You can follow me at the weed on Twitter. Contact us. Let us know what you think about this.
Yes.
Perhaps we might be featured on the Talking Aloud podcast. Did you hear that, Shahi boy?
Yeah, will we have show notes? Yeah, I guess we should.
We'll see how things develop.
Yes.
So thanks for listening once again.
Yeah.
We've gone on for about 45 minutes. Oops. I don't believe we talked this long.
Yeah.
We don't usually talk that long, but I guess you get two people of like minds in terms of technology, two geeks. They'll continue talking on and on. And I should be headed back soon because I've got another recording in an hour. Tech Talk Coffee Shop on Tech 65. We're scheduling it every Friday, 7 p.m. Do join us on Vocal, check our tweets about it. And see you guys.
Sorry, Neil Lepot, for giving you a hard time. We understand you now.